The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward. Once to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Tells me so. Good morning. Good morning. So we just heard and read together Psalm 23, which is a psalm that actually I think a lot of people here might know by heart or have heard it, and it's very familiar. But it also has some words that maybe are kind of hard to understand when they're put together. Do you know what a psalm is like? It's a different kind of writing. A psalm, yeah? It has a chapter in the Bible. So this Psalm 23 has its whole chapter. And the psalms were songs or poems, okay? So they're not the same as the gospel where we're telling a story, like a narrative. It's like a song or a poem. And those have refrains. And so I'm going to teach you a refrain, and then we're going to read Psalm 23. You're going to hear it a little differently. So I'm going to teach you to say this refrain and do the sign language. So you ready? All right. The refrain is, Jesus is the good shepherd. So this is Jesus. Jesus is the good. And then shepherd is long. Okay, you ready? So we start with this. This is sheep, kind of like they're eating grass. And rounding up, person. That's the sign, okay? So it's sheep rounding up person. It's really long, all right? So Jesus is the good shepherd, okay? So I'm going to tell you when it's your turn to say that, all right? God is always with me. When I'm in a dark valley and can't see, I'm not afraid. When I feel lonely, God keeps me company. When I feel unsure, God reaches out and comforts me. Okay, you ready for the refrain? Jesus is the good shepherd. I will never forget God's way is best. When I'm surrounded by enemies, God serves up a banquet. It's a table filled with food for everyone. All right, we have the refrain. Jesus is the good shepherd. Anyone who wants to hurt me will see God pours out love on me. God's love always surrounds me. It's like a cup spilling over because it's so full. Everywhere I look, I see God's goodness, not just today, not just on the good days, every day. Wherever I am, God is by my side. Ready one more time? Jesus is the good shepherd. Very good. All right, will you pray with me? Jesus, the good shepherd, thank you for caring for us. Help us to take care of the others you put in our lives. Amen. All right, thank you very much. You can go back to your seat. Well, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and it's a traditional Sunday. We do this every year, 4 weeks after Easter, where we focus in on images of pastures and hear Psalm 23 and talk about shepherds and sheep. So it's also the Sunday that all the sheep stories tend to come out in the sermons, the good and the bad.
Wow, that was bad. Sorry, I didn't mean to pull the wool over your eyes.
It's okay. Don't feel too sheepish. All right, we're done. with that, I have now, I thought back over previous sermons from this Sunday, and with those jokes, I've now told you everything I know about sheep. You've heard it before, that being called sheep may not be the most complimentary thing to be compared to. They're pretty smelly. They're not considered the most intelligent. And they have just this one purpose of eating and growing their hair. But sheep do also learn the voice of those that care for them. A shepherd, a farmer, the sheepdog rounding them up, whoever is tending them, they will learn a voice to follow. And then also to remember that when we are compared to sheep, it's to relay the promise that a shepherd, a good shepherd, Jesus, is the one who will protect and guide and certainly will not ever abandon us, the sheep. But here's the thing about Scripture. It's not just a one-shot, straightforward image all the time. In fact, it's more like those kaleidoscopes, you know, those toys where you can look at the sun and you turn it or look at a light and it changes color depending on how you rotate it. You might see a new shape or a different angle or sometimes even get a whole new view. So when we turn this text just a little, we know that it's not just the image of sheep, but there is a tandem image of shepherd alongside it. And not just any shepherd, but the good shepherd, which when we think of Jesus, we might choose the word good. It also might cause us to wonder, why just good? Why not amazing or superstar or best shepherd ever? Well, I learned a little bit about this word shepherd from my friend who's a Latin teacher. And one of the joys of having a friend who knows an ancient language well is that learning happens all the time. So we can be at the grocery store, you know, picking something up on a drive, taking a walk, or just having dinner. And if a word intrigues her or if it comes up in conversation, she will pause and say something like, you know, the root of that word comes from the Latin. And it means, and she will continue to explain it. It's quite fun. So at dinner a couple of weeks ago, she said, you know, pastor, the word pastor comes from Latin word pastorum, and meaning shepherd. Or if you say it in the past tense, pastus, it means to lead to pasture or send out to eat. So I said, perfect, it's time to eat then. The truth is, I haven't always been real sure about this comparison of shepherd and pastor. For one, I am completely unequipped with analogies that have to do with farm animals. I know nothing, I will admit. I am the mom who did not ever let her kids into the petting zoo in my presence. They had to go with their dad and then wash their hands 1,000 times. And secondly, there's sometimes this idea that pastors are set apart to do all of the tending. And while we are called, it is true, to the spiritual care of a community, and it is part of what we do, we also know that God calls all of us in tending others through our gifts, through our knowledge, through our passions, and through our compassion. And that we are all promised that same promise to be led by those still waters and never abandoned in the valley of the shadow of death. So while I've shared with you just about everything I know about sheep, I know I haven't shared all that I know about you and your connection to Jesus through this scripture. In the Gospel of John, there are many images and they get repeated. And the shepherd image is one that continues to show up. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," that scripture kaleidoscope, it makes this little turn back to what was happening when the book of John, when the writing was going on somewhere around 90 CE. And that's important because it was about 20 or so years after the siege of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, which was a major change of life for the Jewish people. And when that destruction and violence happened, the Pharisees, who were some of the main leaders of the time, they left. They left their people, they fled and went far away to reconstruct Judaism in a safer place. And so it's the Pharisees here, those leaders that are being alluded to as the bad shepherds, the hired hands, the ones who left, while Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life fully for the people. So yes, good shepherd is a statement about Christ. And it is also a statement about what kind of spiritual leadership was expected, was needed, was desired in the early church, and also for today. And also, then yet one more click of that scope turns us forward in the scripture, forward to John 18, and shows us how this reflects on our lives as Christians now. When Jesus is in the garden in this gospel story, before he goes to the cross, it's different than the other gospels because there's no kiss from Judas. There's no taking him, the soldiers taking him over. Instead, Jesus walks out of the garden and hands himself over to the soldiers. In the Gospel of John, no one takes Jesus' life. He willingly gives it over by his own choice. And in John 15, we hear Jesus say, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And when he says this, he's speaking to the disciples, which is our clue that he's speaking to us as well. And he's letting them know that they too, as his followers, will be called to lay down their lives. They will be sent into leadership, into care, into tending, into teaching and preaching for one another and for the people of God, and that they and now we are also called to be good shepherds. Now that might not sound like great news. It's kind of a big ask for us to be the shepherds, even while we still rest in that bigger promise of God. As theologian and teacher Caroline Lewis says in her writings about the good shepherd, maybe that's why Jesus is the good shepherd and not the awesome shepherd or the out-of-this-world shepherd. Because at some point, we have to accept the fact that we are asked to be the shepherd as well. If we had to follow in extraordinary footsteps, we would find every excuse possible, every explanation imaginable to decline Jesus' command. We'd repeatedly deny our identity, deny our discipleship, just like Peter. "Surely you are one of his disciples, aren't you?" "I am not," Peter said. But Jesus will not let him keep saying no. "Simon Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep, feed my lambs, shepherd my flock." So this is good news. Good news for the world as we live as Easter people in the promise of the empty tomb. We are turned again by Jesus' words and connected to him, not in a way that lets us off the hook or lets us just be sheep out to graze, but instead frees us in grace and mercy to live into and be so much more. Today in the gospel, verse 16, Jesus says, "I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I need to bring them also." So this is about us protected, loved, and cared for by the shepherd, promised to be part of the flock. This is where the darkest valley and the promise of light meet, where the shepherd walks alongside us and we walk alongside one another as friends, as strangers, as a community of faith connected to one another, to the world, and deeply connected to Jesus. And it is about our own discipleship as shepherds. Jesus beckons us to follow and to lead. And he sees those that are cast out and separated as those who must be brought into the same promise of love and grace. Will we find the ones that need to be brought in? Will we hear the cries on the streets, see those who are hurting, those in darkness, and bring them light? Will we not just follow and pass off our own calling to Jesus as if we have no responsibility to bring and fulfill the promise for others? Or instead, will we follow and turn that scope just enough so that we can see and hear those that we are called to feed, to tend, to shepherd?